because I'm in the throes of writing. And I have been on the subject for several weeks. Abounding Grace can tell you, I get into a subject, I hardly come out until I'm through. And I've been in this subject for several weeks. I am going to give you some highlights of it tonight. And I also want to tell you, I have permission tonight. I was given a manuscript by the Pugh family after Brother Pugh passed away. I was preaching there. They gave me a manuscript of a book that he hadn't finished. And they asked if I'd look at it and kind of come up with some ideas. I don't know. I still have it in my office, and somebody else has taken it and kind of finished it, but I'm going to use the title tonight. I called Brother Pugh and told him I felt like the Lord gave me some for it, so I'm going to talk to you about it tonight. Amen. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody say earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Everybody said amen. My subject tonight is the pull of the future. The pull of the future. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful host of people. Thank you for the men of God, their wives, the families, the saints of God that have come tonight. Thank you for your anointing, your presence, that you've assembled us together again. And God, I pray that you bring us together not only physically but spiritually, and bring us together in unity of faith and spirit tonight. I take authority over anything that would hinder the Word of God from doing what it needs to do. And I ask that you give me clarity of mind. Let me say only what I need to say, not word above or not word one word less. And confirm it with your signs following. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I first of all want to start. I have used this illustration previously, but it fits so adequately in what I want to talk about tonight. Thank God for GPS. You remember the days of the maps? You have to pull off the side of the road, and you could never fold it back like it came. Some of you kids don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Amen. And so thank God for GPS. GPS is pretty simple, at least mine is. It has to be. It always, when I start, it starts with this, current location. You can't start somewhere you're not. That's pretty profound right there, whether you know it or not. That was pretty profound right there. And but once, you know, it starts current location, and then the next question is destination. Now, there are a couple buzzwords in the religious world, the Christian world. One of them is journey. We're all on a journey. Someone was telling me about this journey the other day. And I told them, yeah, I read the same book you did. I know what you're about to say. Don't tell me you're on some cutting edge of something just because you duplicate what somebody else is doing. And I understand that we are on a journey. It's a deal, you know, we're a bunch of nomads and we're on this journey. But I want to ask you a question. What kind of journey are you on if you don't know the destination? Seriously. I mean, what would happen to your GPS if it said destination? You just put in there, don't know. You choose. I mean, that might be quite a little journey. You might end up somewhere you don't want to end up. And I want you to understand that. And I hear another buzzword that's around. It's called purpose. Two words that we hear a lot now is we're on this journey, and it's a lot about purpose. But the fact is, a lot, and I have no problem with the books. I think they're great, and I'm not knocking. But I want you to understand that there is a difference between God's purpose and maybe your purpose. And everybody wants to know, what is my purpose? And I do agree that we have a lot of people sitting on pews that have absolutely no idea what their purpose is. I get that. I understand that. But let me tell you something. More important to God is His purpose than you discovering supposedly what your purpose in life or purpose from whatever is. Now, with that in mind, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul uses a word that frightens some of us, but it was called predestination. Predestination is not something we should be fearful of, because Paul was not writing in spite of the Calvinistic doctrine. He was not writing in light of individual predestination, but he was writing about sonship being predestined. So, you know, it's not God's will that any should perish. So, you know, it's not God said you will and you won't. But the deal is it's already been, whether we understand this or not, it's already been determined, our destination. That's why it's predestination. Paul says all things work together for the good to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose, and in the next verse, he tells you what that purpose is, that we might be conformed to the image of His dear Son. I want you to understand that Christianity is about a conforming and forming you into the image of His Son. That's what this really is about. It's not just a ticket out of hell. It's not just an emotional high. It's not just a social something that we just gather together and kind of feel good and whatever. But it is the fact that God has already predetermined. I feel like preaching a little here tonight. He's already predetermined the destination. The destination has already been set. So you don't get to choose the destination. That destination has already been set. Now, I also want to point out the fact that it's been used before. It's not a new idea or a new statement. But I told, writing the other day, I made the statement in it that we are good with the first travail, which is the birthing process. We're getting really good at that. We travail and people are born again. But Paul said, I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. So it's not just enough for us to learn how to travail to birth people. We need to learn how to travail that people would be formed into what God wants them to be formed into. You going to help me preach here a little bit tonight? Amen. We need to learn the power of the second travail. Just getting people saved is the first part of it. But the formation is, you know, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, transmoving from one point to the other. Now, Paul understood this very much. He really had a handle on it. And he writes, especially in Romans, about some of these things. And then, of course, in Corinthians, he really gets into these things. Now, I don't want to take a lot of time in this, but I do want to point out to you that when Paul starts, now remember, to the Romans, he talked about us being transformed. And then, of course, also that we are formed into the image of His dear Son. Now, when he gets with the Corinthians, he writes to the Corinthians, he talks to them about Moses coming down off the mountain. He talks about a veil, and he says that the veil's still there. And it really, the veil was, one of the ways to explain it was a lot of unbelief. because of their unbelief. And so when he comes down through there, he says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And what he wants you to know is that veil had been removed. It had been removed, and now, when he come off the mountain, he had the veil. You couldn't see the glory of God on his face because of the veil. But the fact is he said that veil has been removed. And now we see him with open face. We see him. There is no veil now to hide the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I am convinced that we must have great understanding as to who he is so we can begin to understand who we are and who we are to become. Does anybody believe that here tonight? You got to get that. You got to understand that. Now, Paul gets into this, and he comes down through to the fourth chapter, and he starts talking about, now, we didn't handle the word of God with craftiness. The term craftiness there is the same word. It translates, we didn't come like the serpent came to Eve. We didn't question things. One other translation says, we did not dilute it. We preach to you the full gospel. Matter of fact, we are willing to stand, watch what he says, with your conscience in the sight of God. We preach to you these things. And then he comes down and he starts, and we quote this a lot. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, we talk about the fact that, you know, it's hid to some and all. But really, Paul was saying that a person, the gospel is not hid to them, except they choose not to believe it. Now, I'm going to make a statement here, and some of you will disagree, but anyway. A few months ago, I was troubled. You know, I mean, you look at the population of the world. You look at the population of the Bay Area and our state and stuff. And it's like, oh, my God, man, what are we going to do? We've got to reach all these people. Now, just hear me. This is what come to me. Do you really think I left the salvation of the world in your hands alone? Now, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. Are you that egotistical that you think that I left this in the hands of just humanity? Boy, you're looking at me really funny right now. And a little verse came to me. John said, this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I personally believe that at some point in time, and this is what Paul, because when Paul uses this analogy, he's given you his own testimony. Can you imagine? Now, just hear me out. First of all, I believe that at some point in time in every human being's life, when they are born, after they're born, there is a moment in their life that the light comes on. Now, they may not understand it altogether. They may not have comprehension of it altogether. I've told this before, but three or four years ago, some time ago, in San Bruno, there were five Buddhist monks. Nobody gave them a Bible study. Nobody talked to them. Nobody trained them. Nobody gave them the oneness revelation. But either by dream or vision, Jesus appeared to them, told them who he was, and that they were to serve him. I believe that every human being in the world has a moment that the light begins to come on. Now, what they do with that light determines whether or not they go on to greater understanding or whether or not a veil of, are you with me or not? A veil of unbelief comes. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, well, I just can't accept that, and that means we don't have to evangelize the world. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. Because Paul is actually giving you his testimony. Can you imagine what Ananias felt like when God spoke to him and said, hey, I got somebody I need you to go visit. I'm sure he's praying, oh, God, send me to a soul. All right, I got one I want to send you to. All right, God, tell me their address. Tell me their name. I'm ready to go witness to them. Saul? You got to be kidding me. God, there's got to be another name coming down. I mean, this is not God. I rebuke this devil in the name of Jesus. This ain't God. I can tell you that right now. But the fact is, no, he's a chosen vessel. Now, let me tell you what I believe. I believe that this light begins to shine, but it's our responsibility to find those that the light is coming on, because after all, no man cometh to the Father, save the Spirit, draw him. You don't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll go find Jesus. Something begins to happen in your spirit. Something begins to happen. Anybody remember? Does anybody remember that the spiritual things that begin to happen to you? That was the Spirit drawing you. That was the Spirit wooing you. Now, this is where the church comes in. We find those. We connect with those. And then we begin to connect the dots. That's where the Bible studies come in. You really think that you're that good of a Bible study teacher that you can teach them on your own the revelation of Jesus Christ? You need to say amen or oh me or walk out or something. But the fact is, it's the Spirit of God. It's the gospel. Watch this, the gospel. Now, Paul says that it says the gospel. When we start talking about the gospel, we think the gospel is just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Paul says, no, there's more to the gospel than that. It is the light, it is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That he would give light, the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Are you with me here? Now, is this too much for tonight? Just stay with me here. I want to show you something. So then he comes down. He said, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to shine in our hearts. See, there it is. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, woo, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here we go. Here we go. See, this journey, Brother Drury, that we're on, how does this thing work? Well, Peter says that by these promises, we have become a partaker of his divine nature. So, what's his nature? Well, there's only, four things that God is. God's love, God's light, God's spirit, and God's word. Isn't that right? God doesn't have the word. He is the word. I tell people, God don't have a last word. He is the word. And so there's four things. So when you received his nature, which he says the Holy Ghost. So when you receive the nature of God, which is, that's why it's called Holy Ghost. Didn't just say you got the ghost. I heard people say, hey, they got the ghost. Some people got the ghost. They didn't get the Holy Ghost, but they got the ghost. But what happens is that divine nature is imparted into you. So whatever God is now in you. But the way Paul words this is in the gospel, and this divine, it's a measure of light that comes. It's a measure of glory that comes. Now it's there. Ooh, it's there. Now Jesus said something like this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide to all truth. Now, I understand we think that's just all doctrine, but it's a little more than just all doctrine. Basically, what he's saying is there's only one that is all truth, which is Christ. So, here comes this glory, this light. It's imparted by his divine nature into me. And all things return to its source. Here we go. Now, what happens is this nature comes. This imparting comes to you through the Spirit. Are y'all okay out there? That's gonna be a little, it's going to bog down here a little bit, and then we'll get toward the end. We'll scream and holler, and you'll think I'm preaching, all right? Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. See, some people think that's it. But it's not. This thing in you says, that's the reason why. Now, hear me out. I'm not trying to twist anything. I've looked at it, studied it, inside, back, and front. when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. But he said, Jesus said, my word is truth. So it's not just the Spirit of truth, it's the Spirit of the word that comes. So God puts that in you, the Spirit of his word, the Spirit of truth in you. And it says, my job is to go back to where I come from. Ooh. When Jesus said, now watch this, when Jesus said, I will go back and share the glory that I had with you from the beginning, he's not talking as the second person to the first person. Because first of all, you have to understand, there are only three that bear record in heaven. There is no record of flesh or sonship in heaven. There's only three that bear record in heaven. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus said that, you've got to remember, in the beginning was the Word. And that's why he said, my Word won't return void. I sent it and it's coming back. It's going to return back to its source. You want to come back with it? You want to take the journey with it? Now, just stay with me here a second. So he said, when he had the Spirit of truth has come, he talked about the Comforter coming, he talked about all these things. And then, you know, this really starts getting interesting. He even told some of them, he said, I don't want to get into that. Never mind. I don't want to get into that. That's too much. I'll get bogged down there, and it'll get pretty negative, and some of you will leave here mad and want a refund, and we don't give refunds. You know, what is, do not tempt me, Satan. What is real discipleship? See, and don't misunderstand me. I'm for the retention. I'm for all that. But there is a difference in retention and discipleship. You can learn certain things to help retain people. But that don't mean they're being discipled. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, I didn't just send my gospel, which is a certain light to you, to start this journey and for you to stop there. But if you continue with my word, if you let that Spirit in you, the Spirit of truth, guide you, it's ultimately going to return back to its source. So when Jesus said, I'll return, share the glory, not the second person, but what he's saying is in the beginning I was the Word, and that's where I'm headed back to. Boom. I'm going back as the Word. Is this okay? I know it's a lot of doctrine here tonight, but just hang on a second. Now, here's the thing. When Peter gets into this, he says, now that you've become a partaker of his divine nature, and now that you're on this journey, let's see where it's going to take you. Now, there are three words that I could give you tonight. Are you ready for it? Holiness, sanctification, and godliness. They're basically the same. They're intertwined. So what is the process of sanctification? Woo! What is the process of godliness? Well, here's the deal. Peter says, okay, now that you've become a partaker of his divine nature, let's start adding some things. Add to your faith. This is the beginning of it. This is that nature coming to you. He said, add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Some of you are like, I didn't plan on hearing this tonight. Well, just stay with me here a little bit. He said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Oh. Isn't that funny with Pentecostal people? As soon as you say knowledge, it's like, my people are destroyed for a lack of tongue talking. We just expect the Spirit to do it all. Man, as long as I can talk in tongues every other Sunday night and get my spiritual shot, I think I'm all right. Well, that went over real well. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Patience, godliness. There it is. Godliness, holiness. That's what it means. God-likeness. Now remember, you become a partaker of his divine nature. And the one of the things that God is holy. He's holy. And you are to become that way. But he says, you can't do that on your own. So I'm going to put my divine nature in you, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to start this process. You are now on what is called the glory road. You are to go from glory to glory. Not just from one point to that, but it's a process. Now, we have the fullness of it back over here. But you go from here to here and from here to here. And you keep going until one day, guess what? I really believe before you get out of this life, if you get to where you're supposed to go, you ought to be able to say the same thing that Jesus said. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. You've seen his nature. So here's the deal. Some people say, well, I don't think holiness has got anything to do with it anymore. I don't think sanctification has got anything to do with it. God says, no, wait a minute. Did you choose the destination or did I choose the destination? I'm holy, and if you're going to get to where I'm at, you're going to become holy. Now, I understand holiness can be viewed. I understand people get all dressed up and they're still meaner than junkyard dogs. I got that one. I've known, you know, we're to praise him in the beauty of holiness. I've seen people turn holiness where it's just plain ugly. I get that, but you know what? That don't mean you've got the right to throw it out. Just because somebody doesn't have the spirit of holiness and they become a Pharisee and just learn how to do these things, I'm not going to get away from the fact that in me and the Holy Ghost was the divine nature of God. And God said, I'm holy, and my process of sanctification is to bring you to this point to where you become God-like. Somebody help me preach here right now. This is what this is about. Are you okay? Now, here's the deal. Trust me, I got a whole bunch of stuff I can get into. Trust me. Now, the deal is, here's the thing. This deal about glory. What is it really about? We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I've been trying to figure out, okay, God, what is it about this glory? And it's really all about the glory. It really is. What is this? How is your glory revealed in us? So let's look at that verse. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. So here it comes. In the beginning, God. See, Peter even goes on this. He said, you were conceived by corruptible seed of the Word. So God, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the gospel, the revelations come to you. And so God says, now, I'm going to take you on this little journey. Now, I've got the destination already set, so I'm going to take you on this little journey. Now, here's the deal. I want to take you from this point to this point. But how do I do that? So, from glory to glory. So, here's what happens. John, who got a really good glimpse of all this, he says, in the beginning was the Word. But then he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. So God's glory is revealed where the Word is made flesh. Now, just listen. God's glory is revealed. Oh, fasten your seatbelt. Where the Word is made flesh. So where is the glory of God revealed? Well, Paul picks this up over in Romans chapter 1. He said, you can't even understand the invisible things of God unless God made them visible. And when he makes something visible in his creative power, he is revealing to you the fulfillment of his Word, his creative power. He's revealing to you his glory. Read it. It's in there, Romans chapter 1. So whatever, he said, you see the heavens out there? You see all that stuff out there, the visible things? He said, you couldn't even comprehend it. You wouldn't even be able to see the glory of God unless it had become created and it was visible now where you could see it. That's why the Scripture says no man has seen God. But John said, but Jesus come from the bosom of the Father to declare him, to make him known. So God said, you couldn't even understand. Watch Paul's writings to the Romans. You couldn't even understand the Godhead unless there had been something visible made. And so God has the same thing. He says, now the only way that you will ever see my glory is when my word creates something that you can actually see. Well, here comes the bomb. He said, the problem is, you want to take it and you want to change the glory. You want to make it into something that I didn't create. It is so quiet in here right now. You want to change it into four-footed beasts and animals and all sorts of stuff. He said, that's not what it's all about. He said, matter of fact, now, here's where it's going to rock just a little bit. He said, here's the deal. When I created Adam and Eve, he said, that was my glory being made manifest. I don't need you to change that. Read it. It's in Romans chapter 1. That's the issue. See, what people don't understand is this whole transgender argument. It's not just about a man and a woman or whatever. It is about the Godhead even. It's about some invisible things. Because what people don't understand is he created Adam and Eve, something visible that you could see for you to understand, not the first Adam, not the first Eve, but for you to understand the last Adam and the last Eve, which is Christ and the church. So when you go to tampering with gender, it's not just about what you like. He said, matter of fact, he said, because of your own lusts and desires, he said, you've tried to change this. You've tried to change the incorruptible to something corruptible. And you have worshipped the creature more than the creator. Well, where in the world are the apostolics at tonight? You've worshipped the creature more than the creator. You changed this into what you think as your glory. But he said, that's not my glory being revealed. Somebody help me here just a little bit. That's not my glory being revealed. It's bigger than what we think it is. Woo. Are y'all still okay out there? So the process is, here's the sanctification process. Now, here's what happens. God says, okay, now I'm going to take you from glory to glory to glory to glory until I get you to full truth. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start right here, and I'm going to give you some word. And as you bring yourself into obedience to it, and you begin to manifest it in the flesh, and that's going to be a little process. Because, see, I want to get rid of you and your glory. And I want more of my glory being made manifest through you. So, somebody said, well, I don't know if I see all that. Well, just give me a moment here. Just give me a moment here. Let's just see what he says. And then we'll come back to something here. All right. Verse number 10, 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. Jeremy, whoever's over there, if you'll put that. Is this okay? All right, just hang on. We'll get to the vision stuff here in just a second. Now, oh, man, that guy is handsome right there. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter. All right. I guess we'll pull Brother Mooney. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Watching that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In our body. His life made manifest. You've got to decide on this road you're on what life is going to be made manifest in you. It's either going to be your life or it's going to be his life. And the only way it can be his life is by a dying. And here is the forgotten message of Christianity right now. The cross. Take the cross out of it. I'm not talking about his cross. I'm talking about your cross. You're not even fit to be his disciple. He said, except you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Now, I'm taking you on this journey, but the only way that you're going to get there is you're going to have to pick up your cross. I got my cross. You pick up your cross. And if you'll start dying out, my glory will be made manifest through you. And when you walk in a building, what glory? When you step on your job, what glory do you manifest? What life do you manifest? Ah, I feel a little help coming right now. Do they see the glory of the world, or do they see the glory of God? The more you live in the flesh, the more glory of the world they see. But the more you die out. That's why the second temptation is such a powerful temptation. The first, every one of you that's living for God, you're going to go through the same three temptations. The first one's about your identity. Do you know who you are? If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Create a diet. I want you to get a diet for earthly things. I can create in you a diet for earthly things. You're no threat to me. Not worried about you. Turn them into bread and eat them. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He takes him to a high place and he says, now I want you to see all this. And he causes the kingdom of the worlds to pass by and their glory. And he says, all of this has been given to me. The first Adam transferred it and gave it to me. He gave up his eternal glory, which he was clothed in. When it says he was crowned with glory, and I don't mean a crown sitting on his head. That means he was enveloped. God put the glory as a clothing over him. And when sin entered the picture, the glory of God departed, and man looked naked at that point. That's why it says it's always been about the glory. God have mercy. He said, I give you all this. It's been given to me. I got it from the first Adam. Now, this is why I can't believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity or the eternal Son of God. Because if he was the eternal Son of God and Lucifer had been up there, he would have known who he was. But he wasn't quite sure he's who he was. If thou be, if thou be, if thou be. I'm not quite sure. I know that there's somebody coming that's going to crush my head. I know there's somebody coming that's going to come in the glory of God. I know there's somebody coming that's coming as the manifestation of the Word of God. And if you're Him and I can talk you out of this and I can get you off this journey and I can get you involved on your glory more than His glory, I've made it. Are y'all still here? There it is. Jesus said, all you got to do is bow and worship me. Just bow and worship me. Get out of alignment with the Word. Bow and worship me. It is written, I shall serve the Lord thy God. You think I'm going to exchange eternal glory for the glory of kingdoms of dirt? All that's going to fade away. But the glory that I have is going to get brighter and brighter. And brighter. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a glimpse of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And John didn't just see it on the Mount of Transfiguration. He seen it when he wrote the last book. And he said it like this, in the city where the Lamb is the light. There was no flesh now to veil the glory of God. He's standing on the Mount of Transfiguration as he would stand in the book of Revelation. No flesh. No flesh veiling the glory of God. And he says to us, that's where I'm trying to get you. That's where you're headed. That's where this thing's trying to pull you to. That's the future. Why would you want to settle for temporal glory when I'm trying to get you to that? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure. My treasure. It's not just over there. That treasure's in me. And that treasure's pulling. It's just pulling. It's pulling. It's pulling. It's pulling. It's pulling. It's pulling. You still here? Now watch this. I'm hurrying to a close. Watch this. That's the process. That's sanctification. Now, I want to take you from glory to glory. But from one point to the other, It's a process. There's some things I've got to work out of you. You ever really looked at the 7 days of creation? You think it's just about the Genesis account? It's really about you. I can prove you, and I want tonight, that every creative day is a creative day in your life. I can prove it. And I can also tell you that every creative day starts the same way. See, your day starts in the morning and goes to the evening. God says, that's not my day. My day starts in the evening and then goes to the morning. So when I start a creative day in your life and I start taking you to a greater revelation of my glory and a greater shining in you, I always start with a negative experience in your life. I take you through the darkness first. And that's why some of you don't understand. God says, okay, you've been here long enough. Now I want more glory. And then all hell breaks loose. Well, I just don't know why I'm going through this. I just don't know why. God says, I'll tell you why you're going through. Because I'm going to process you through this. And when you come through this night season, there'll be more light coming out of you. There'll be more of my nature. There'll be more of my glory. So why don't we quit complaining about it? Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, let me show you something here and then okay, here's the deal. All right, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. Now here's what I want to show you. You ready for it? I want you to look at this. Are we still okay? Okay. I want you to look at this. We are troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in danger. We're persecuted but not forsaken. We're cast down but not destroyed. I looked at those last Sunday morning and the Lord said, I want to show you this something. The first part of that is about this earthen vessel. The second part's about the treasure. So he said, when you read down through those statements, understand the first statement is the earthen vessel. The second statement is the treasure. He said, oh, you ready? You understand that? So watch what he says. We are earthen vessels. We're troubled. That's the earthen vessel. Here's the treasure. Not distressed. I'm not distressed. Here's the earthen vessel. I'm perplexed. Here's the treasure. I'm not in despair. Here's the earthen vessel. I'm perplexed. I'm persecuted. Here's the treasure. I'm not forsaken. Here's the vessel. I'm cast down. Here's the treasure. I'm not destroyed. That treasure in you, that glory in you, is what's going to help you get through this. Does that make sense? So now let's go on down through here because we're getting to it now. Here we go. So he talks about all this. You know, we're raised up. We've got to live the life of Jesus, and all things are for your sakes. Verse 15, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound, super abound to the glory of God. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 4. Now watch this. For all things for your sakes abound, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. That old earthen vessel of yours is perishing. Listen, I don't care how much you try to fix it to where it's not perishing. It is going to perish. The grinders are going to cease. The shutters are going to grow dim. It's going to perish. I'm telling you, in the morning when I get up, it sounds like that cereal. Snap, crackle, pop. Amen. Now, watch this. Though our outward man, yet our inward man is renewed. What? Day by day. Now, here it is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How bright are you? That's the question. Paul said, light affliction, shipwreck, left for dead, perils of the deep, false brethren, false countrymen, five times. And he said, light affliction. Because those afflictions are but for a moment. But that treasure in me. That's why, listen, he says, I press toward the mark of the high call. Listen to me. The high call that Paul was talking about was glorification. Where you have no veil of the flesh left. You stand like Jesus. Now, are we okay? That's what it's about. Here's what John said. Here's how kind John said it. He said, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him. We're not there yet, but when he appears, that's where we're headed. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. See, this is what I don't understand now. When Peter says you add, see, some people are subtracting. He didn't say, okay, you get this by losing this. He said, no, you add. You keep this, you add to this. This is a certain level of glory. You don't lose that to get this. You keep adding to it, and you get brighter, and you get brighter, and there's more glory, and you purify yourself. Are we still okay? All right. Because here's where on in. All right. All right. I'm starting to get it. Starting to get it. So, if in the beginning is the Word, and what reveals God's glory is the manifested Word, or the fulfilled Word, then that means something from my future becomes imparted to me. Boom. And that something in there is being pulled on. The glory of the Word made flesh is pulling on me. My future glory is pulling on me. So God says, here's how this is going to work. It all is about the Word. So I'm going to tell you how this prophetic thing is going to work. I'm going to put something in you in the beginning. It's a seed. It's a little light. It's a little glory. I'm going to speak of you of things that are not as though they already are. Ooh. I'm going to let you go behind the veil and get a glimpse of where the future is. I'm going to show you some things about the future and the glory of it, where my Word is made manifest. Woo. And the process of this is to start pulling on you with that something in you, to start pulling on you to get you to it. God have mercy. Now let me close the preach for a second. So why in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about our future. I'm talking about where God says, I'm going to take you. There it is. Now, I know when I say prophetic, some of you get really nervous. I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm just talking about where God. Now, if you don't think God can talk to you, then you need to cut most of the Bible out. I'm not talking about a bunch of crazy stuff and all pie. I'm talking about where God legitimately speaks to you, whether it's through the written Word or it's a rhema, he speaks to you. Are you listening? And he starts sharing some things with you. He tells you about these things. Listen, I got this for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, as the man preached last night, God I don't understand it all right now. It is complex right now. This old earthen vessel's not understanding a lot of stuff. But Brother Top, I'm just honest with you. There's something in me. I want to get distressed right now. I want to look at everything and think, my God, America, I don't want to sound negative, but America's in trouble. The world's in trouble. It's a big mess out there right now. And you know, if you think the new president's going to solve it, well, God bless you. Amen. But the fact is, you can get all that stuff. But there's something, Brother Mullings, in the church. There's something in us, this treasure in us, that says, let me take you where I need to take you. I've got destiny in this. My God. I'm trying to challenge some of you. Let me help some of you. Let me help some of you. You know, here's the biggest... Oh, I shouldn't. Here's the biggest danger. Some people reach a certain glory. That's it. I'm through. Well, you may be through, but that treasure in you, it's like a honing beacon. It's like, no, there's more. There's more glory. There's more ministry. There's more vision. There's more out there. Trying to take you to the next revelation of this. I'm trying to take you to the next dimension of glory. Now, you going to camp here and die here and get halfway in the process? Are you going to be like the Jews and say, well, you know, there's giants over there. I mean, my God, I took you over there and I showed you your future glory. I showed you your destiny and you let a bunch of naysayers give you an evil report. It wasn't their word that it was in the beginning. It was my word that was in the beginning. I told you I was going to give you that land. I told you I'd send a hornets before you and drive them out. But you didn't let that glory in you. You didn't let that something in you take you through the process. Let me tell you something. I'm going to make it personal right here. I come to San Francisco, Brother Mullings, on a vision. I know people, whatever. But, you know, you don't just pack up from Okmulgee, Oklahoma and move to San Francisco. In the dream, I've seen the mountain. I've seen it. I've seen the San Bruno Mountain. He said, look to the San Bruno Mountain. My God, I didn't know there was a San Bruno Mountain anywhere in the world. In the dream, look to the San Bruno Mountain. I turn in the dream and look. There's a man on top of a cup of sand. He yells, San Francisco. I get up the next morning and tell my wife, man, you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. What? We may end up in San Francisco. Okay. That's where God wants us. All right. That's it. Yeah. Okay. I didn't say Hennepin. That's another town in Oklahoma. Okay, so he passed you there. I didn't say somewhere in a comfortable church in the Midwest. I said San Francisco. You know, weird. San Francisco. Okay. I said, well, I don't know if it's of God or not by this. If there's a San Bruno Mountain, I don't know it's really of God. She said, okay. So we went and checked it out. Sure enough, there's a San Bruno Mountain right there by the airport. San Bruno Mountain. We lived on the side of it. San Bruno Mountain. Now, here's what happened. God put that in there. I don't want to go. I've got three children. You want me to move them into modern Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, by the way, God, do you know how much it costs to live there? Do
No.
Why don't you inform me a little bit? I tried. I went to General Conference and went to a guy. And I said, he was going to Los Angeles to our church. I said, why are you going to L.A., San Francisco, and these churches? He said, why are you telling me that? He said, God's already showed you what you're supposed to. Leave me alone. Let me tell you something, folks. It'll just keep pulling. But see, the world don't understand that. The glory of the word fulfilled pulls. And the future is pulling on the Western District right now. And some of you are resisting. And some of you are kicking. And some of you are saying, but it's full of giants. And we can't do it. I got news for you. I feel like Caleb and Joshua. We are well able to go up and to possess the land. But you listen, let me call. I'm close. So, okay, now what are we going to do? Well, Mark, you know, we're kind of financially, I don't think we can. I said, all right. You know, we got some debt, and you know, that's a big step, and we don't know the future. And okay, God, what do you want me to do? I want you to get out of debt. Okay. You got a plan for that? Mm-hmm. I do. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to figure out how much you're in debt. And you're going to divide that by 100. And you're going to write a check for that amount. It's called debt cancellation offer. Weird. Well, why 100? Because if I bless it 100-fold, that'll take care of your debt. And I'll tell you when to give it. I carried that check around me for months. Wrote out the amount, carried it around, and I was preaching for David Shatwell. We're sitting there at breakfast one morning. Holy Ghost said, okay, this is the place to give it, give it. And I said, David, I got something I'm going to give you. And so I handed it to you. He said, what's this? I said, well, it's something I feel like I need to do. He said, man, I like this. This is the first evangelist ever paid me for preaching. So I explained to him what I did. And I'm telling you, Brother Drew, and I had to make a commitment to God. But immediately, miracles started happening. Because you know why God said, and I'm saying, and I'm going to tell you what I said, God, I got this burden. I'm so weighted down. I'm so burdened. He said, well, that's funny. My word says my burden is light. If you got something that heavy, you picked up something I didn't give you. Get rid of it. Okay, all right. Brother Abbott was a key to a miracle in our lives at one. I'm telling you, we come out here, Brother Abbott helped us. God, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to get this off. Miracles, I mean, people just started walking up there. And you know what? Oh, man, I can go, no. I'm getting you ready to take you to your destiny. Okay, I remember the day. We hadn't been out here just a few weeks. Sister Morgan said, I think we're out of it. I said, seriously, yeah. Thank God. Now, this is cool. I thought I had it all figured out. And then that crazy World Network of Prayer team come. And they got to pray in San Francisco. And then one of the ladies went home and she called me back, Jamaican lady from New York. She said, Brother Morgan, you think you understand the man on the mountain, but you don't. I said, well, who's the man on the mountain? What is it? She said,
You, sir, are the man on the mountain. And God wants to take you to the top of a mountain where he will give you the authority to call forth into the Bay Area the revival. She said, climb that mountain. Do you hear me? I said, sister, you don't understand how many dreams I've had about this crazy mountain. Can I just preach And I've seen it, and I finally got to the top of it. When I stood on the top of it, skylines lit up behind me of cities, city after city after city. Here tonight, I sense it tonight, the pull of our future. Cities and countries are pulling. There's apostles in this building tonight that God's calling. There's people and the devil's fighting you, saying, you've got to be kidding. Who in the world are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm somebody that God placed a seed of glory in. And it's pulling on me and it's calling. My future is calling. I refuse to just settle to complacency. I refuse to let a 40-year wandering in spite of what other people said. Can I challenge a Joshua to Caleb here tonight? Is there not a Caleb that can say this? I still want that mountain. God promised me that mountain. And for 40 years, I've been waiting on that mountain. Can I tell the Western District, for 40 years, there's been a prophecy riding on this district. But I feel tonight that God's pulling on us, saying, come on to your destiny. The future's pulling on you right now. I got cities waiting on you. I got the state waiting on you. I got nations waiting for you. I think I'm through. No, you're not. I told the church 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, I still want that mountain. This remains said, I still want that mountain. I said, I hadn't got there yet, but it's pulling on me right now. I feel the future pulling on us. I feel in the spirit. I don't understand where all this is going. I don't. I don't understand all the complexities of the world. I don't. But I refuse to let this earthen vessel stop and snuff out the treasure that's in here that says, come on. That's why there's been so much resistance in your life. That's why you've been hit in so many areas. That's why every time you turn here recently, my God, where's it coming from next? It's nothing but a process. But that treasure in you tonight, is talking and calling you right now. That prophecy that was spoken into your spirit, it's calling on you right now. Your future is calling you right now. Not just a glorification, but your future's calling you right now. Does anybody want to let the pull of their future take over right now in the Holy Ghost? Anybody? Come on, lift your voice now. Lift your voice. Nations. Cities, calling, ministry, glory, you manifesting the word that God's giving you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go on down through there. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be ye transformed. You need to be transformed by the renewing of your minds tonight. You need the Holy Ghost to get in your mind and start renewing something, because your mind has to be renewed before you can be transformed to prove the perfect will of God. Come on. There's cities in California. There's cities throughout the state. There's nations and countries that are calling you right now. There's missionaries in this place that God's calling. There's evangelists that God's calling. God's calling men and women right now to a city. God's calling you. No, you're not through. You're not through. You're not through. You're not through. Your future is pulling on you right now. Woo! Glory. Glory is calling you. Go on, don't stop. Lift your voice fervently, fervently, fervently. Fervently cry out to God right now. Fervently cry out to God right now. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for listening to the 10 spies with an evil report. Forgive me, God, for listening to somebody tell me I wasn't able to do it. Come on, I feel like the Holy Ghost really wants to do a work in this altar right now. I need you to press beyond that earthen vessel. I need you to press beyond the earthen vessel. I need you to press beyond the flesh. I need you to press till you get to the treasure of the seed of the Word of God in you, the treasure of the promise. Woo! Doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm facing. The treasure in me, the treasure in me, the treasure in me, the treasure in me gives me the power to overcome. Woo! I hear entire ethnic groups calling somebody tonight. There's ethnic groups in your city. There's ethnic groups in your community. You may have a language barrier, but the glory is calling you. The future is calling you right now. The future is calling you. Why settle for the present when the future is calling you right now? Le mamondo re la maha shatara la mohokai. Ye tara la mar ye la bohushai. Apostolic ministry is calling some of you right now. I'm nervous, Brother Morgan. I don't know how. It'll guide you. He said he will guide you there. He will guide you there. Hakal shomatari yalala hashan narana mahakal.